Let's face it, if you're in ministry for long enough, there is going to come a time where your church has some kind of a meltdown. And while it's never fun, there are some strategies that you can employ to make the recovery process as smooth as possible. Let's talk about them.
You're listening to the Reach Right Podcast, the show dedicated to helping your church reach more people and grow.
Hey guys, I'm Thomas.
And I'm Ian.
And today we are talking about church meltdowns and when things really kind of go awry at your church and how you can fix them. Should be a different conversation for us.
Yeah,
we usually are more in different realms of helping churches grow. And this is how to help them not shrink, I guess,
right.
Is what this conversation's about. But man, I think this is a more and more appropriate topic to talk about because I keep on encountering churches that are going through some kind of a major, like a meltdown, whether it's something deserved or not, a major online canceling or just some bad publicity or those things. And so, maybe it's a really bad review that people, someone put online of their experience at your church. And so we wanted to talk about this a little bit because I think it's important for you to figure out how to solve it. I want to start off by saying this too, is that this is not like some kind of a dismissing of the fact that there are unhealthy churches out there. We've done podcast episodes about that. There are red flags to watch out for and things to be kind of aware of. But there are also situations where churches are doing things that are right or people just make innocent mistakes. Or even if they are kind of big meltdown and problems that you brought on yourself, there still are right ways and wrong ways to deal with it. And we're seeing this played out over and over again with very high-profile ministries that are going through major just drama and canceling and shutdowns and huge purges of members. And I won't get into the names of these kinds of organizations.
Yeah.
You already know them probably if you're in our audience here, usually to do with some kind of sexual immorality or something like that from a leader of the organization. So, I don't want to minimize that. I don't have a 7-step recipe for how you can fix that after your pastor had an affair or something. There's not, it's not like that simple. But I think that we're going to give you some general guidelines on how we would approach it and just some things to think about as you're going through a deserved or undeserved canceling or a meltdown of that kind. So sound right, Ian?
Sounds right. Should be fun. Definitely different,
you ever,
like you said. So,
you ever have a situation like that in your church experience where you saw a canceling or something like that happen?
Several.
Gosh.
Well, no.
What have you been doing?
Not a lot. No. That did sound bad. No, that there's been a couple over my now, and I think this is also because I'm a member at a mega-sized church in the Austin, Texas area.
Sure.
Not to say that smaller churches don't go through this either, but mega-sized churches can often be the target of these types of things, or just
there's more people,
there's more
bigger church,
happen.
Bigger target,
and more more people, more problems, so to speak.
Yeah,
sometimes,
that's right.
So one of the things I love about my church is our pastor does not shy away from biblical stances to certain political or cultural issues. We stand on the Word of God. We don't water things down to get new visitors.
Yeah.
And because our pastor's out there and we are very visible in a large church, when we take a stance to anti-abortion stuff or whatever, marriage being between a man and a woman specifically, those types of things, we always will hear from it. Being in the Austin area, and without getting too political with all of that, we did have the Handmaids show up at our church one day.
Like from the show, from The Handmaid's Tale?
No, the different ones with red hoods and those
types
of
things. Yeah, that's it, right? That's The Handmaid's Tale.
Oh,
people,
that's right. Isn't that what that was born out of? You're right. Okay, first I thought you were joking there, but you're right. That is what that was born out of, right? So they showed up, obviously, because of our stance on abortion and actually scared a lot of children because it was broad daylight in the Texas heat and you had all of these red-robed figures and women out there. So that was interesting.
Goodness.
And it was, we're off a very a busy highway, if you will. And so it was a very visible thing. So
Did you guys do anything different?
Do anything different?
Well, was it acknowledged in the service? Did someone say, hey, they were handmaids in out there? Did you guys notice?
Yes, it was acknowledged, yes. And I think most people were aware of it because once it was visible in the community we were in, people started sharing on social media and everything else. So yeah, it was interesting. So
yeah, good. We'll get into more about, you know, the acknowledging and those things in a second. For me, I remember this, like we had just got a green light to move into a brand new building for us at our church in Madison, Wisconsin. Yeah. And our situation had nothing to do with my church at all, but it was actually something here at Reach Right. I was pastoring a church and we've had like one person in our history that was like this, but one person that was really displeased with, he just had different expectations than what we actually were able to do. And we tried to do everything in our power to reconcile that and do what was right, and bent over backwards to try and make him a happy customer. He just didn't want to be happy. And that happens sometimes in business. He actually decided on our opening Sunday at my church that he was going to start a protest movement saying that I was stealing money. And like the implication, he felt like that our business was stealing money from his organization. Yeah. We weren't, but he felt that way. And you know, we wanted to try and make that right, but he wasn't willing to do that either. So he put out ads that implied that I was stealing, not from him, but from my church, that I was an embezzling pastor, basically. Yeah. And so he put out ads, and he actually put out ads on Facebook Marketplace and Craigslist to hire people to come and picket at our opening Sunday. Like he was going to pay them $25 an hour or something like that to go and make signs saying Thomas is an embezzler and doing those kinds of things. And my goodness, it was like, it was like one of the hardest times in my ministry career when like people were coming out, like I felt like undeserved. They were coming at us that way and like attacking my church really had nothing to do with these things here at all. So I've been on it. I imagine that our audience has had tons of these stories too. I would love if you have like one that you could share, if you would drop it in the comments down below. It's so interesting to me to hear about these kinds of things. So do tell us down below in this here, but I guess I want to get into a little bit though about like what is the process that maybe your church went through, Ian, what my church went through when we kind of get into these situations. And so we've kind of outlined 7 steps to take.
Yeah.
And we'll talk a little bit about what we do in there. So I don't know, maybe you can share the 7 steps and I'll kind of offer some commentary on them.
Yeah, absolutely, Thomas. And this should be helpful, what we've put together here, hopefully for folks. But the first one would be... assessing the damage. So it makes sense that this would, to me, be step number one. Obviously, there's always, when these things happen, there's going to be some sort of damage that takes place.
So it's funny. I played, I don't know if you ever played this. You ever played the board game Munchkin before? You ever heard of that?
I don't think so.
Okay. It's a board. I played with my kids last night. We played this board game called Munchkin. And one of the things, it's this little card game but almost like a little role-playing game. And it's kind of jokey and stuff. And when you go and you fight monsters, and if you lose to the monster, it says bad stuff at the bottom. It's the bad stuff that happens to you if you lose to the monster.
Okay.
So all our Munchkin fans in the audience will know about this, I guess, but the bad stuff happens. But what you realize is that sometimes the bad stuff really isn't all that bad. It's like, okay, well, if I lose this monster, it's okay. It's not like the world doesn't end for me in the game. Yeah. Same thing goes, I think, for churches. Like assessing the damage is like sometimes, you know, you go through these kinds of situations and the damage, please hear me. I'm not saying put things under the rug, sweep them, hide big major sin. That's not what I'm saying. But I think in a situation where you feel like there's not something that you did wrong, and you're assessing the damage, and you know it's one person is disappointed with your church, you know, they really, you don't need to address everything, I guess, is the point of this. If it's not going to be a major damaging moment, it doesn't need a deep addressing or anything like that in this. So that'd be the first take on that, I guess, is just kind of assessing it, making sure it needs to be addressed, and then from there you kind of take the next step.
Yeah. No, that's good. Agreed. And then next one would be apologize and acknowledge.
So if you deem that it is something that needs to be addressed by assessing the damage, then in some cases you're going to either apologize or acknowledge those things. But I want a difference. There's a definite or there. I know that this is some like timeless wisdom. Sometimes people will have problems with something that you did, or have some kind of an issue that you can't apologize for. Your case, for instance, the handmaid showed up because your pastor took a stance on abortion. Right?
Right.
So should your pastor get up there and say, hey, I'm sorry that I said what I said that the Bible says about abortion? Absolutely not.
Right.
Is it okay to acknowledge that there's people that are uncomfortable by what he said? Absolutely. Yeah. Like, that's a good thing to probably get out there and say, hey, I acknowledge that, you know, what we say about abortion is really off-putting to some people. I understand that. I can appreciate even some people that want to stand up for women and their rights and you know, see the, some of the things that they've been through. I can appreciate why there's a lot of people that feel passionately about this. So talking about those things in that way, I think at a minimum, that is important to do. It's probably wrong if you feel like it needs to be addressed to just ignore things like that, to like not acknowledge, not apologize. I would use apologizing, though, sparingly in a church situation. If you did something wrong, obviously, like if there's a embezzlement or a sexual problem of things that happen there at your church that need to be repented of, then yes, that's probably the more biblical word. It's not apologize, but repent for the places where sin has taken place.
That's right.
But outside of that, I think sometimes an acknowledgement just goes a long way. So that's my two cents on that. You have thoughts?
Yeah. Shows humility. Yeah, totally agree. And it you know, if you just totally ignore, then it that doesn't help anyone, I think. So agree. So this next one, I think I know what you're going to say, but should someone seek counsel when these meltdowns happen? Yes.
Yeah, probably.
That's a no-brainer, right? So,
first thing I did when I get this idea, I see someone's from my church, when I found out about this guy picketing our opening Sunday, I actually found out about it because a member of my church saw an ad to picket our church on Facebook. They saw someone doing this. He sent it to me and said, dude, pastor, what is this? And so I don't know what this is. And so first thing I do is I contact some of our other leaders in our church and kind of get, hey, I don't know, what do you guys think about this? This is crazy. Next thing I do, I'm in a denomination called Foursquare. And so I have a pastor that a district, an area pastor, a district supervisor. And so I talk to them and say, hey, what do I do in this situation? Third thing I do is I had a lawyer in our church and I called her and I said, hey, do you have any advice for me? Like, what do we do here? And so her advice was that, you know, there's really, he could do whatever he wants. He's allowed to pick it and that stuff. But, you know, you could, there's nothing stopping us from writing a strongly worded letter encouraging him to not do that. And so we did that, wrote the strongly worded letter. I don't know if I actually told the end of the story. He didn't come and pick it. We were able to mitigate it and come to a reconciliation. And so it did work out okay.
I almost said this because, first of all, I had direct communication with this person, if you remember.
Right, you're the one that brought him in. And, so.
That's right.
He was most upset with you. He just took it out on me.
Yeah, that's right. But at the same time, the funny thing was that he said at the end of this, when he relented and did not show up, he said, that actually was the least aggressive idea that someone presented to me was meaning there was going to be harsher ways that he was going to
put
attack
a hit
you.
On me or something.
Yeah, yeah. So, so this was the least, you know, the least danger. I don't know.
What
it was crazy. I know. So anyway. So but yeah, that's funny.
So yes. So seeking counsel.
So seeking counsel for sure. And then this next one's interesting. I think too. It revisit your mission and vision.
Yeah, so I think that's an important part of it is that, like, every time you're going through a crazy season like this, it's a good time for you to say, hey, have we gotten off track with what our primary assignment is with things here?
Right.
Like, you know, we're like, what led to people having this perspective? Like, again, I'm not saying at all, like, what your pastor talking about abortion and pro-life things.
Was off
like, that's,
mission,
that's appropriate and good.
Off vision, yeah.
But at the same time, like, it is probably a good time for you to kind of revisit it and say, like, you know, does this bring, like, we shouldn't shy away from it, I don't think, but does it bring attention that maybe we don't want? Maybe it doesn't move us forward on our primary assignment. I'm not saying it does or doesn't. I'm not saying any of that, but it's a time for you to reassess that. I think a lot of times churches will find that, yes, like God does care about the unborn as much as the born, and so it is something that is appropriate to that. But I think it's a time for you to reflect and say, hey, do we need to maybe take a look at our alignment, maybe focus a little bit more in a certain area? And sometimes the answer will be yes, sometimes it'll be no, but this is the time to reassess some of those kinds of things.
Yep. Completely agree. Smart to do. So get back to your first love, so to speak, too. So, but yeah, so next one would be, developing a recovery plan. I think this obviously makes sense to do, if especially if you were impacted negatively by this. There's going to be some time to recover.
Sure. Yeah. So I imagine a church like yours.
You didn't have to because it didn't happen, but
we mitigated it. Yeah. I mean, we still had people. Right. I had lots of conversations I had to have. I talked about it on Sunday and told everybody about what a crazy week I had, and you know that we almost had our opening. And I didn't want to talk about this stuff our first day in a brand new building, and here I was talking about those things. So we did have a recovery plan still, but it was simple. A church like yours, you know, as much as like you know you guys are standing on the truth and those things, there are you know, a church of. I don't know. What do you guys have? Like 7,000 people or something go there? There are people.
Closer to 10 now. Yeah.
Closer to 10,000 people.
With the new campuses and everything. Yes. So.
Yeah. So there are people in your church, no doubt, or at least visitors that come to your church that probably disagree with your church's stance on abortion. You know, that's just the reality of what it is. Yeah. And so you probably need a plan on how to, it's not to how to appease those people, but how to disciple them, you know, how to help them get over the hump with these kinds of things and kind of see things the way the Bible teaches these kinds of topics here. So, I think that's an appropriate way to be considering it.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. So rebuilding trust would be the next one. Obviously, if there was really something that a church was responsible for, you know, it's going to be a necessary step to rebuild trust. It could be a long one depending on the degree of the meltdown, right? So,
I mean, there's some, you know, high profile cases that are happening right now that I don't think trust will ever fully recover. God can do amazing things and new leadership can change things, but all things being equal, I don't see these things really recovering. But I think you said it right. I think the main thing on this step is just doing the right things consistently and continuing to talk about the issue. I think that's what rebuilding trust looks like. And don't have this expectation that if you made a mistake or there's some kind of an impropriety on your church staff or something like that, that the next week everything is going to be better. It's not the kind, even if there's full repentance, if the person is, you know, comes before the church, confesses their sins and says, I messed up, I did this, I'm in recovery, I'm going through this process. Don't expect that next weekend, you can't get up there and say, well, he repented. Why don't you trust us again? So it takes time. Like it's just something that it's won through continued obedience over a long season. Yeah. So
you can repent,
that's the thing.
Sin, repent, sin. you're right. There's a time, time to heal and a time for that. So
what does Big Earn say in Kingpin? Does he go, I said I was sorry and I meant it, right? Isn't that what he says there?
That's right. I don't know. Our 30, maybe our like early 30s and below may not know that, but everyone else. Yeah. So that's
Big Earn and Kingpin.
But no, it's not. Yeah. So anyway, maybe we'll have a meltdown for mentioning that movie. So there you go. Last one would be evaluate and adjust. So that seems fitting for being after all of these, after you've taken all these other steps here. So
we always end with measurement, right? You always got to measure it, Ian. So that's what we're doing. Evaluating. Because we know it's going to take time, these things don't, you can't recover from them after, you know, the next Sunday. So I think you want to set checkpoints in there to take a look and see, hey, how are we doing with this? It's a good thing to revisit. I would do like if you went through something like your church's situation, for instance, I don't know, mine would really apply, but your church situation where maybe you got this thing where you've become seen as a, you know, some people would cast you as a hateful church, a church that hates women or a church that hates the LGBTQ community or something like that.
Right.
You probably want to evaluate that or maybe put something on your calendar and say, can you believe it's been 6 months since those handmaids showed up there?
Yeah.
Like, how have we been doing? And have you guys heard any testimonies on those kinds of things? You know, having some of those conversations around your church, I think would be good. So kind of build in a plan for how you're going to evaluate some of that stuff.
Yep. It's good stuff.
Awesome. Good. Anything else to add as we wrap up?
No. We hope that your church does not have a major meltdown and not even a minor one. But if the minor ones happen, those are better. And we hope these steps were helpful. Interesting topic we thought today. So, yeah.
And if you, I really mean this, if you have a second to write a comment down below about a crazy blow up, if it's a funny one especially, we'd love to hear about it.
We love funny ones.
Thanks, guys, for being a part of the Reach Right family. We'll see you next time.
See you.